I was going to wait and jump back into parables, but why wait? Amen. Let's jump back in this evening. Just felt the liberty to move forward. And we're in Matthew chapter 13, and really in this we see two parables that are tied together, have similar meaning, and all of them, if you'll, well, let's do this. Let's look at Matthew 13, verse 44 and 45. And then we're going to jump into the teaching tonight. Verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found it, he hideth. And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you. Lord, we thank you that because of the truth of your word, we know that we have a crown that is waiting for us. But Lord, ultimately, it's not about the crown. Lord, we know that if we apply ourselves and live faithfully for you, that there's gold, silver, and precious stones in store at that judgment seat of your Son. But Lord, it's not about the rewards. Lord, it's simply about serving you. And Lord, we look forward to that day. Whether you take us home tonight, or whether you take us home 10 years from now, or whether you don't come back for another 100 years, Lord, you are worthy. And Lord, we're so grateful for that. We're grateful that we can know you. We're grateful that you've given us your word that we can base our life on. And we're also grateful that you've given us the liberty to decide to live our life based on your word or not. And Lord, I do pray that as we study this evening, we look at these two parables together, and then we study the responsibility of the scribe. Lord, I pray that your word would have a transforming power in our hearts and our minds to conform us to think like you think. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have a desire to be less like the world. Lord, as we live in a dark day, it truly is a dark day. Your scripture calls it such. Lord, we know that we have hope. And Lord, even though there are Christians all around the world who haven't set foot in a church in multiple days, months, weeks, and years, Lord, I pray that you would arrest their heart tonight to understand the urgency of the hour, to cast aside everything that is carnal, everything that is a distraction, and to focus on nothing more than you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn tonight together. Give us the words to speak and to preach. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to your scripture and not to preach our opinions. In Christ's name, we pray all these things. Amen and amen. It's been several weeks, it's been almost a month actually, since we've talked about parables. And so just by way of a reintroduction, parables by definition are a narrative containing moral guidance, deliberately obscured, hidden, for those who do not actively seek truth, yet concurrently clarifying heavenly principles and doctrines for the truth-seeking person. We know the purpose of the parable. It's interesting how that it's identified. Look at we're in chapter 13. Go back to verse 10. Let's back up to verse 10 real quick. Verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. The parable's purpose, after teaching on the sower and the seed, the disciples were asking why this teaching tool was used. Why are you teaching them in parables? And Jesus' answer reveals to us the reason spiritual understanding is so important. Luke chapter 8 and verse 10, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. There are people who go to Scripture or come talk to saved people with the purpose not of learning more about Christ because they're convinced of sin or because they're concerned about their eternity. They want to know more to gain knowledge on some historical pursuit, or they want to gain knowledge so they can know how to overcome your thinking, right? And they're trying to trip you up. And the Bible says that's why Jesus taught in parables, so that they, seeing, they could not see, and hearing, they could not understand. This is why it is so important. Hey, listen, if you don't get anything else tonight, get this. You want to understand God's Word? Then you study it believingly. You don't study it trying to figure things out so you can gain knowledge. The Word of God is not there for you to gain intellect. The Word of God is there for you to know Him better and to know how you can live a life that brings Him glory. That's the purpose, right? It's all about Him, not about our intellect. It's not about Bible knowledge. I'd much rather have somebody who has a heart of compassion that loves people and shares the gospel with people over someone who can tell me anything and answer any Bible trivia. I could care less about that. I'd much rather someone have a heart for lost people like Jesus did and care for them. Well, I don't know much about the Word of God, but I know this. He saves sinners, of which I am chief, and I'm so grateful He saved me. Man, I really just want you to know that there's a Savior that loves you. Man, I know you're not living right. I know that. You know that. You just admitted it to me. But man, it don't matter. Jesus loves you. He wants to change you. Right? That's the heart I would desire over someone who just, well, I know all this about the Bible. Hang that. Now, I'm not saying don't worry about studying the Bible. I'm saying it's all about the heart, the mentality. Do you want to know why I study the Word of God outside of the fact that I'm a pastor? And if I don't, you know, I really shouldn't be a pastor, right? Amen. There's something about a preacher who don't study. Not much of a preacher, all right? They can't talk about the Word of God. One of the main reasons I do is because every time I go to Scripture, I learn something. And I don't learn something, and I listen, understand me when I say this. I don't gain some new intellect. I gain insight as to where I have failed Him or an area where I'm weak and need Him. You understand what I mean by that? There's things you can read. Everybody in here knows the story of Jesus. Everybody in here knows about His death, burial, and resurrection. But there's something about rereading through that account, going just a handful of verses at a time, looking at that, and then praying. God, help me to understand. Help me to see. And then you go back and you get to Matthew 26 and 27. You start to see all of the things that are happening. And then you start to see the humanity of Christ. And then you start to see the blood that was shed. All for us. Not so that we can say, look how spiritual I am. So that we can recognize how lacking we are. And how much we need Him. And that's why He spoke to them in parables. Because there were people that were there that were not there because they wanted to know more about God. They're just asking questions because they want to see if they can get the upper hand. Much like the Pharisees. Now that's just a brief reintroduction. We gain doctrine and understanding from studying the parables, and there are two main parables that we just read, both of them tied together. Both of them have a similarity. And then we'll get to the third and final portion for tonight as we bring chapter 13 and the parables of chapter 13 to a close. If you're taking notes, number one, we see the parable of hid treasure. The parable of hid treasure. Matthew 13, verse 44. And the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. I want us to understand a few things. We have the treasure, we have the field, and we have the man. If you're taking notes under point one, letter A, you have the treasure. Letter B, you have the field. And letter C, you have the man. All throughout Matthew 13, the field and the man have been the same person. Through the entire chapter. The field is the world. Matthew 13, 38, the field is the world. This is literally Jesus explaining what the field is in the parable. And throughout the rest of that, there's no break. So he's giving them multiple illustrations of the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is a side subject for another time. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are what? Different. It's two different kingdoms. The kingdom of heaven is what Iran and Israel are fighting for right now. Piece of dirt, Jerusalem. It's literally what they've been fighting for 2,000 plus years. That's where the kingdom of heaven will be established. That is where his throne will be. That is where he will rule and reign from. It is a physical kingdom. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Romans chapter 14. That's a kingdom that is welcoming to anyone who would place their faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. You can live in the kingdom of God now. And if you're a Christian, you have access to the kingdom of God. Because it is not meat and drink, but it righteousness, joy, and peace. All right? So, the field is the world. We see that in Matthew 13, verse 38. We see that this field becomes the kingdom of the Son of Man. In Matthew 13, 37, he that soweth the good seed, the field is the world. The man is the Son of Man, verse 37. So, A, the treasure, we're coming back to that one. B, the field is the world. C is the man, the Son of Man. Matthew 13, 37, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? Help me out. That's Jesus. And we've dealt with the great significance of that tied to Daniel in the past, and so I'd encourage you to go back and study that. What then is the treasure? For that we need to go to Psalm 135. Psalm 135. I'm going to, as they say in movie reviews or television reviews, I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. As soon as we figure out what the treasure is, we're going to know what the pearl of great price is. Because they're the same. And that's going to help us because look at Psalm 135. Praise ye the Lord, verse 1. Psalm 135, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise Him, O servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen who? Unto Himself, and who? For His peculiar what? What's the treasure? Israel's the treasure. Now here's what happens. Oftentimes, people pick and choose through the parables. Now I told you when we started this umpteen weeks ago that some of this is going to be more technical, which is fine. Amen? That's okay. So we can have understanding. Some people will read through this and they'll say, oh, that treasure, that's lost people. No, it's not. No, it is not. Because the treasure is the same as the pearl. Look at verse 45. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price. If that is lost people, then it would be more than one pearl. Right? That is not a picture of one group of people. That's not how it has worked in any of these parables in Matthew 13. And it's not how it works now. We don't get to just place us there. Two reasons. Number one, the kingdom of God is not being preached yet. It's the kingdom of what? Heaven. So what is the kingdom of heaven? Where is that at? Jerusalem, Israel. Israel is His peculiar treasure. All right? So it is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the field. That leads us to point number two, the second parable, the pearl of great price. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. We see once again the tie of the man. And who is the man? Jesus. Jesus. It has been Jesus in every parable in this chapter. Why in the world would all of a sudden it change? Right? We don't get to read into it because it fits better. The man is the soul winner. And if we'll go out, then God will give us that one pearl of great price. That's not what it's teaching. And I cannot just take the scripture and make it fit because it preaches good, because I would venture to say that if it's not biblical, it doesn't preach good. Amen? I don't care how good it sounds. If it's not Bible, as a preacher, I shouldn't say it, right? I don't get to just make up my own context just because it's going to drive the agenda of what I want our church to do. Now, let me ask you this. Does God care about lost people? And who has He put in charge of reaching every lost person on this earth? The answer is you. Now, I know what you mean by the church, but anytime I ask that from now on, you need to answer with me. Right? So who has God, now, not me, like, don't, you know, Brother Nate, Pastor, I saw some of the wheels turning. I know our church guys too well, amen. I know where that's going. I told Brother Chris a dad joke I saw yesterday, and I don't know why I laughed so hard at it, but I got to share it with you. Listen, this has nothing to do with the message. Y'all got me distracted. ADD, amen. Squirrel, all right? I'm telling you. Why is it that you can never run through a campground? Because you can only ran because it's past tense. You know, that's right. Dad jokes, all right? So I know where y'all are going when I say this. Some of y'all are still working on it. Go see our English school teachers, all right? Go ask them. That's an English thing. Some of you young people, y'all going to have a hard time with that, all right? Unless you're homeschooled, then you got it like that, all right? I'm just kidding. Y'all probably are slower. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I'm teasing. Let's try this now that I've opened the door for y'all to pick on me, all right? From now on, when I ask the question, whose responsibility is it to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with lost people? The answer is mine. You say the word mine, all right? That's what we do. Why? Because God does care about lost people. But guess what? I don't have to twist this out of context. That's clear in other parts of Scripture. I don't get to use this as a springboard to say, oh, set that field of lost people, we need to sell all that we have and go get it. That's not Bible. He's talking about Israel. Now, I want us to see something. Let's do this. Psalm 74 and then Exodus 15. We're going to go to two places. I know that really just thrills Brother Royce's heart when I do that, because that's not easy to do on that computer back there. But we're going to do a Psalm first. So Psalm 74. All right. Psalm 74. You know, if I was a better planner, I'd have every reference written down for him so he could get there when and know when. But he picks on me so much. Somehow I'll make him work. Amen. Psalm 74. If you're glad you're at church tonight, say amen. I believe half of you. All right, so Psalm 74. Look at verse 1. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation when thou hast purchased of old the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion wherein thou hast dwelt. So we have the psalmist crying out to God to remember the congregation that he had already what? Purchased. The rod of the inheritance, which he hath what? Redeemed. This Old Testament illustration, all right, now that was Psalm 74, is a reference to Exodus 15. Exodus 15. Remembering when God purchased Israel. When did God purchase Israel? Before or after the cross? Before. Cross hadn't happened yet in Psalms. Cross hadn't happened yet in Exodus. They're looking forward to the cross. He'd already purchased them. Where did he purchase them? Where did he redeem them? And in this understanding of that purchasing, we also see a beautiful illustration of what it means to redeem. It's to buy back what rightfully belongs to you. It's to buy back that which has been taken from you. Right? So when the Bible says redeeming the time for the days are evil, you got to get that back. You got to redeem that time back that's been robbed of you. Do you know what that is translated today? Practical application? You're going to have to start cutting out some distractions. You're going to have to start cutting them out. If you don't have time for God or the things of God, you're too busy. Amen? Cut them out. Well, they make me feel good. That's the problem. We're carnal. These are good for my kids' development. That's the problem. You're more worried about their physical development and their mental development than their spiritual development. Listen, I know it's quiet, but you know I'm right. That's the problem in society. Christian people do not make God a priority. And then we still call ourselves Christians. Right? All right, now I made everybody mad. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Anybody picking up where we're at in Exodus now? They're singing triumphantly. Why? Because they've crossed the river. They've crossed the sea, and God took care of Pharaoh's army. All right, look at verse 6. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as steel as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast what? Purchased. Who did he purchase? Israel. When? With the plagues. What was the final plague? The death of the firstborn. Right? And the plague, the death angel, only passed over the children of Israel's house if there was what? Blood on the doorposts. He purchased them through death with blood. He redeemed them out of 400 plus years of slavery. And Moses sings about it here. Now look at verse 17. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign, how long? Forever and ever. What is he talking about? God purchased Israel to put them in the place where he will abide and rule forever and ever. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a field, the field of the world, that when a man hath found it, he purchases it, right? And then the field, or rather, the kingdom of heaven is also like unto a pearl, like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. When he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The purchase is tied to Israel, the pearl of God, and the setting of the kingdom that is on this earth. In verse 17 and 18 of Exodus chapter 15 is the promised kingdom of God that will come to fruition in His time, not in ours. Now, Matthew chapter 13, verse 51. And this is where we're going to finish over the last 10 minutes or so. Matthew 13, verse 51. So point number one, the hid treasure. Point number two, the pearl of great price. Point number three, instruction for the scribe. Verse 51. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Now, I want us to take just a few minutes. I'm going to give you some verses in the Old Testament to write down. What is a scribe? Ultimately, biblically speaking, a scribe is someone who kept the law. They were a keeper of the law. Oftentimes, we see lawyers referenced as scribes. Same boat. Why? Because they were keepers of the law. Here we see in verse 52, every scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven. Ezra 7 and verse 12, Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven. Perfect peace in such a time. Verse 21, Ezra chapter 7, verse 21. And I, even I, Artaxerxes the king, do make a decree to all the treasures which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, shall require of you, it be done speedily. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. Write this down as well, please. If you're taking notes, study out this word scribe. Nehemiah 8, 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses which the Lord had commanded to Israel. So now we have Jesus identifying the scribe, the one who would keep the word of the law, specifically regarding the kingdom of heaven in verse 52, a scribe with the ones following him being instructed in the way of the kingdom of heaven. Now here's something that's important. Every parable that has just been taught since Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10 have only been told to his disciples. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't teach the parable somewhere else in Scripture, but he is, look at Matthew 13, verse 10. Matthew 13, verse 10. He's just finished talking about the sower and the seed. Verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? So who's he talking to? His disciples. He tells them, based on verses 11, 12, 13, 14, all the way to verse 17, he's still talking to his disciples. And then verse 18, no break in the flow. Hear ye therefore, because of what I just told you about the parables, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And he's explaining the parable of the sower to who? His disciples. So who is he talking to? His disciples. Verse 24, after giving the explanation of the sower and the seed, verse 24, another parable put he forth unto who? Them. Who's he talking to? His disciples. Every kingdom parable that we have in Matthew 13, you say, well, he also teaches it over here. Yes, because Jesus wasn't afraid to teach the same thing, because repetition is the key to learning. Right? He fed the 5,000 and then he fed 4,000. Two separate events. People try to use that and say, see, one gospel writer said 4,000, one gospel writer said 5,000. I think he fed over 9,000 people two separate times. Right? These are two separate occasions. Different amounts of food that are left over. Different amounts of food that are given. Now, notice, keep reading. Well, let's move ahead. So he's identifying the scribes. Who are the scribes? His disciples. Verse 51. Jesus saith unto them, the same them that he said in verse 24. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed. All right, so here we have a scribe. Letter A is like a householder. This ties us to verse 27. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence thou, whence then hath it tares? The householder, the keeper of the house. A scribe is like the keeper of the house. And then notice what a scribe does. He brings out treasure. What is the treasure to the scribe? What is the treasure? Is this the treasure of the people of Israel? No, because now he's talking to his disciples. They're the scribes of the kingdom of heaven. To them is given the instruction. And what are they supposed to do? Bring forth out of his treasure things new and old. The treasure of the scribe is the law. The disciples will bring forth new and old treasure from the instructions that they've been given for the people of Israel. And then in the New Testament, after the death of the testator, now a mystery is revealed unto them. So that brings us, well, I tell you what, let's do. Let's look at Luke chapter 12 and we'll be done. So we see the pursuit of one that has found worth in something. Contextually, Jesus is speaking of Israel, and for the scribe, knowledge of the law of the kingdom of heaven. Stewarding, seeking, sowing. As though what was to come would have great value. Luke chapter 12, verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. Value. Value was found by the man that bought the field and found hid treasure. Value was found in the treasure. Value was found in the pearl of great price. So he sold all that he had to obtain that, because it had great value. All of that dealing, now you've got the treasure of the scribe to bring forth old and new treasure. And so the question tonight is very simply, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? For where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. God finds treasure in His people. The people of Israel are the apple of His eye. Does that mean they've done everything correctly for 6,000 years, 4,000 years since they were established? No, it doesn't. You belong to Christ. Christ loves you. Does that mean that you've done everything correctly since you got saved? No. Does it change the value that He has in you? No, it doesn't. The great price. Where is your treasure? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer.